President Trump late yesterday signed an executive order blocking states from enforcing their own laws regulating artificial intelligence. Specifically, it gives the Justice Department authority to block state laws if they do not support, quote, global dominance of AI. It would also allow the federal government to withhold funding for broadband and other projects. The directive marks a big win for tech giants, but will likely be challenged in the courts. During the Oval Office signing yesterday, the president's AI and crypto czar, David Sacks, an investor in multiple AI-related companies, argued that allowing states to set their own rules poses significant risks.
Over 100 of them have already passed. 25% of them are in California, New York, and Illinois. You've got 50 states running in 50 different directions. It just doesn't make sense. We're creating a confusing patchwork of regulation. And what we need is a single federal standard.
For more, we're joined by tech journalist Jacob Ward, founder of The Rip Current. Jacob, welcome back to the NewsHour.
Thanks, Jeff. Great to be here.
So President Trump in this executive order says he wants a minimally burdensome national standard. The White House argues that tech companies can't reasonably be expected to comply with potentially 50 different sets of state laws. Break down that argument for us.
Well, the argument, right, has these two sides. One is that we need some sort of comprehensive federal regulation for there to be, as President Trump's executive order describes it, supremacy when it comes to the United States. There is some real rah-rah football team backer kind of language in this executive order that we need to win. It mentions adversaries, which of course means China. And so the argument here is that we need to streamline the development of this industry so that we can be the global winner on it. The other side of the argument, of course, is that the states have always been the laboratory of democracy. They are the place where we figure out what regulations work and what don't. And right now, more than 50, you know, all 50 states plus Puerto Rico have passed an AI regulation of some form. You've got Colorado banning algorithmic discrimination. You've got Illinois trying to wipe out AI therapy. And so when it comes to the states' arguments, they say essentially, you know, we need to figure out how to regulate this stuff. And the backdrop of all of this, right, Jeff, is that there is no federal regulation around this stuff at all. We're almost, you know, we're 20 plus years into the social media revolution. We still don't have a data privacy law that touches that, much less anything that regulates AI whatsoever. There is some new legislation possibly coming up, but at the moment there's nothing there, so you can't really blame the states for feeling they have to get involved. And President Trump has now moved to try to get out in front of that.
If this order survives legal challenges, what are the real-world consequences? What protections potentially could be lost?
Well, you should sort of think of the promises, the marketing language of these companies almost in reverse. Let's say they get their way and these technologies make their way into every corner of our life. We know already that algorithmic systems are determining who gets a job, who gets a loan, who gets bail. But we also know that increasingly people are forming deep personal attachments to this stuff. One in five teenagers report having a deep emotional connection to a chatbot of some form. And so we know that there is, both anecdotally and quantitatively, we know that there is an enormous effect being had on humans of all ages and all backgrounds across the United States. And so, you know, the attitude of the technology industry has always been, let us innovate and we'll figure it out later. And it seems as if the Trump administration has come along and bought that argument, the idea that we should be able to experiment in the wild on live subjects in a way that no university would ever permit. But as a result, of course, we are also the envy of the world when it comes to the creation of these foundational models. And it could be that you know, keeping that dominance going will keep us on top as a superpower. But this, you know, the fact of the matter is we really, if these companies are to be believed, this stuff is about to be in every corner of our lives. And I don't think any of us would imagine a world in which no regulation will touch it. And at the moment, that's the case.
But are we the envy of the world when it comes to AI in the absence of regulation? I mean, is there a case to be made that regulation really stifles innovation?
Well, the adversary that the executive order mentions is, of course, China. And the argument that a lot of pro-industry folks make is that China only has a single regulatory body, and that is the federal government. There is no patchwork of state law in China. But the other thing to consider is that you have, you know, a lot of regulations in China. China is not a wide open Wild West style environment. You have to be able to show that your AI model, you know, it has to show its work. It has to show that it is in compliance with communist teachings. There are, you know, CEOs are personally liable if their AI product is misused in some some way. So there is enormous, and I would argue under the Trump definition, very onerous regulation in China, and yet they are moving as fast as they are. You know, I think the thing that we could say about this is that the need currently to comply with this long laundry list of various patchwork-style laws across the country really does create a advantage for big companies who can afford big compliance teams and a disadvantage for small startups who don't know how to do that. But increasingly in the age of AI, you know, it's not that hard to come up with a checklist that satisfies all the state requirements. And if we see the White House swing the other way and the legislature, you know, the Senate and the House swing the other way in the next few years, we could very easily see a federal set of federal regulations just as long as the laundry list we currently have from state law.
I was going to ask you that because there is a role for Congress to play here, even though we know that Congress has abdicated so much of its authority to the executive. We mentioned that this is headed for the courts when these state attorneys general sue, when they challenge this executive order. On what grounds might they file these cases?
Well, the grounds that the executive order talks about has to do with the you know, a state basically interfering with commerce nationally. You know, you're not supposed to be able to, you know, blockade your state if you are the one national source of, I don't know, timber. I'm making this up. But you know what I mean? You're not allowed to sort of hold back the business of the nation as a state. And so that seems to be the argument here. I think the other side of the argument is, well, you should probably, you know, you need to safeguard our kids, our jobs, our industries against the encroachment of this technology and some of the damage that we've seen. And without any kind of federal regulation on that stuff, then you should leave us alone. It will probably be the state's argument here. You know, what this I think does fundamentally is bring up a really big constitutional question that's been brewing for a long time, but it's about to get really white hot in this case. But the other thing I would also point out to you, Jeff, just as a piece of context, is this is not a thing the voters care about. Only big companies really care about this China question and about this regulation question. Big polls of every kind of adult voter show that the vast majority of them want regulation of AI and do not care if it slows it down. And so this is definitely not a voter response that we're seeing in this executive order.
Jacob Ward, always great to speak with you, founder of The Rip Current. Thanks again for being with us.
Thanks, Jeff.